Oh, well, let me start
Love
here, too.
Talk Radio.
All right. I'm going to go here.
Is it too dark?
No, you're okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Angela Calder bringing you this episode of Living the Shift, this week from the beautiful Mount Shasta, and it is 6 a.m. in the morning, and I'm just waking up and having company today is wonderful, so that it'll get my juices flowing. So this morning I have Julia Dario joining me, a beloved fellow spiritual practitioner. Say hello, Judy.
Hello, hello. I'm coming from Crystal Beach, so we got some really cool energies intertwining together today. But yeah, welcome and thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. It's so we're just sort of getting our coffee together here right now. But anyway, so while I'm going to just get started here, anybody who wants to call in can actually call in now if they have a question at 516-418-5791. And we'll try to remember to do that once we get started talking, but we can also type something in the Q&A. And if you have a question or perceptive you'd like to share. So this week we're talking about basically, it was really challenging to go over the title, but it's basically changing on a dime, right?
Yeah.
And basically,
every second, every day.
Yeah, right. And it's actually funny because I went out to dinner with somebody last night here and we were talking about that. It's like, oh yeah, there's really no leeway anymore. Basically follow guidance or just get rolled over in the tsunami, because it's like either you surf on it or you're rolling in it. So don't you think?
Yeah, it's quite interesting because if there's things that you've been putting off, it's coming up to the surface so quickly that if you again aren't paying attention and you still want to try to shove it down kind of under the table or under the rug, it's coming up. Like massive things are just changing and shifting, especially a lot of ancestral things I feel like going on right now. It's a lot of people are clearing and those things are coming up in family situations, and if you're not ready to change, it's just going to happen. It's funny because if you're not ready to change, I raise the question, don't you already change every single day, every single moment? A piece of change?
Every moment. I remember, recently I went scuba diving with my husband, and I had such an epiphany. Of course you're in water, everything's amplified and everything else, but we were doing a drift dive, and it was just awesome. And what I thought about was, it's really funny how big the idea of a drift dive really is, right? And there's so much to realize, because you do nothing. You go with the current completely. You basically manage your buoyancy. You sort of direct yourself in the direction you want to go, but you let the current take you. And I remember thinking that, and I was like, oh, come on, I'm on vacation. but it's true, because if you try to swim against the current, especially when you're diving like that, and you're right next to, say, a big, huge coral wall, right, of all this beautiful wildlife, and everything, and you try to manage it too much. So you learn how to manage it. You basically learn how to optimize it so that you go exactly, you learn how to manage it, right? So you end up exactly where you want to be. And overall, you're doing almost no work. You can use so little air in comparison to if you are trying to completely paddle against the current, which is exhausting very quickly. And that's totally the same as what's going on right now. And I was like, wow, that's just like such a big metaphor for what's going on right now. It's like, do you want to drift dive so that you don't have to worry about all this other crap that's going on around you? Because there's big, big stuff going on around us and we're part of it, but we also have our own journey. Or are we just going to watch, enjoy it and have, an awesome time with it and enjoy the scenery as we go, right?
Totally. It's so funny that you bring that up, because it just reminds me of my trip learning to surf. And, it was just a huge lesson in that. It's like, you learn to ride the waves, because they're going to come in no matter what. It's always going to happen. It's just how high of a peak is the wave going to be And the waters can calm out, and you can still learn to ride them. You can learn to ride just calm waters. But it's learning to exactly play with it. So what are you doing on the surfboard? What are you doing in the dive? Like, what are you seeing? Like, what are you enjoying in that moment? And it's so amazing how many metaphors we have, especially on water. I feel like a lot of the water sports are quite readily revolved around that just free-flowing situation.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Because you're your own worst enemy when you try too hard.
Yeah. You fall off.
Right.
Or you like go into coral and you miss this beautiful scenery, because the epitome like moment is being able to look at that coral reef and just being able to be in awe and just allow yourself to just be there. And it's the same thing with surfing. Like, both of them are just kind of like surfing, you do a little bit more with your legs, but at the same time, it's about managing it. Like you said, it's
right,
about
well,
managing what's coming up.
Yeah.
The surface.
So it's interesting. Yeah. Cause you learn how to optimize things like, okay, if you want, say you want to slow down, right, and you're going with the drift, you go behind, you can go behind a rock, because the rock will, you know, sort of protect you from the current, you know, so that you can stay someplace, say you want to look at some wildlife or something like that. But I remember, you know, like the first time I went diving, the first couple of times I went diving, it's like your mind is like, oh no, I got to control this. I've got to do this. I've got to go this way. I've got to, you know, and it's the same thing probably with surfing. It's the same thing with, like water skiing, like you're talking about all these water sports, and you're right. I mean,
yeah.
But it's also the same thing with swimming, just plain old swimming. And
totally.
And so what's going on right now, right, we can talk about the metaphors all day, but what's going on right now, I see it in everything. But interestingly enough, like the night before I came here, I had this dream where I was going down, and it was like a drift dive, but it was in like the ethers, right? And it was going down this current, and there was another practitioner there with me. So I texted and told her about this yesterday, and she goes, "Oh my God, this so fits me." But I was like, and there are these big monster things, like huge things that are going through the current with us. And at first, like, we were afraid they were going to fall out of the current, and we were trying to direct and manage them to keep them, like, you know, flowing. And at some point, I was like, oh, my God, this is way too much energy in the dream. I was like, I'm just letting go. And I let go, and she was trying, and she got frantic because I let go. So she was trying even harder, you know, and then I'm getting further and further up ahead, and she's like, hey, and I'm like, just let go. And she did, and then we're just sort of, and then we're just like floating along, and we're laughing, and then we were able to have fun, because then we stopped, you know, getting too concerned about stuff. And that's really that is such a huge message overall for everybody right now, because there is such a short leash on change right now. And it's like, if you are guided, it's time for you to do something. We've got a lot to do, so there's no screwing around. And the higher self says, do it, or I'm going to make you do it, you know? And it doesn't, that's not threatening or anything. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It just is. And my whole question, you know, is always, do you want to do it with grace and ease or not so grace and ease?
Exactly. And it's like, you know, if what it is that you're doing, what it is that you are expecting first off in the first instance, you have this picture of life. You decided that this is the way that your life was. This is the way that life is. And then all of a sudden, it's like, something comes up and brings you in a whole different direction. It's understanding that those changes are okay. Like, you may go back to that path, you may find yourself there, but like, it's lessening the expectation of what the picture should look like and the overall factor of everything, and not blocking yourself from the perspective, like putting that rock in front of you. You know, you're blocking yourself from a whole different perspective of life. And you're unable to see what opportunities are actually arising before you. If you're deciding, I'm only going to see life, I'm only going to stay on this track, well, in fact, when you move over to the other track, as the train's going to move over, okay, well, they missed being able to fall off of the cliff. They were catching riding. It was a lot easier ride. It was a lot more beautiful of a ride. And, you know, you just... Yeah, paying
Totally.
attention to the beautiful scenery that's actually happening around you, and not so much about what the steps are in order to take it.
Right, because by the way, our higher self, our higher consciousness, we got it. Has our back. I mean, whether we think we have our own back or not, or the universe, or however you want to look at it, we've got our own back. The universe has our back. Because, by the way, I saw a beautiful something somewhere the other day that said, if you weren't important to the grand scheme of things, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah, exactly.
And
Exactly.
I would say even more so now than ever before, because we have so many big things going on. You talk about this, and I see this with clients, right? And it's funny because people say, oh, well, it's me because I haven't, I've been on this in this rut for so long or whatever. But it's not just people who are working, like focusing on getting themselves out of the cement on their feet. I see this happening even with people who are getting used to, like all of us are used to, are like more and more getting pushed to change on a dime, change on a dime, change on a dime, without expectation. And it always goes back to, do you trust your guidance, right?
Totally.
No,
And sorry.
that's okay. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, and we're fortunate, like the way that I look at it, we're fortunate because we're in this moment, we're the ones that are really paying attention, and to those who are paying attention, but there are those who aren't, and they are feeling steamrolled, and you can witness it if you just sit outside at a coffee shop and watch, just people watch. You can notice these things happening to other people and happening to the entire masses. And if we can just notice all of the different things that are happening, like unfortunately, like the natural disasters that are happening, but those are all happening so that we can change on this dime, like we can change the path in which we have created. It's sometimes you have to come to that friction to be able to move forward. However, we don't necessarily have to come to that friction in a very deep, severe way. Like we can do it with a lot more ease. And we can transform it, which is so beautiful. I know that you and I talk about this a lot, is that you can transform it in a way that it feels more like fun, and you don't have to look at it as if it's bringing you down or bringing you, dragging you in the dirt. You can say, hey, look it, I'm in the dirt. Like, look, change
Right.
your perspective on what the dirt is.
I'm gonna make mud pies now. Yeah, totally, totally. I also see. Well, yeah, and so for some, you're right. Some are completely unconscious of it, but part of it is the choice, and I wouldn't say anybody is completely unconscious of it because we make choices every day, right? Do I stay in this or do I move forward? Do I stay in this or do I change? And sometimes we are so, and part of it has to do with, and that's the kind of work we do, which is helping people release their blocks and realize that they can release their blocks and that there's no victimhood. It's all choice and action. And so, especially now more than ever, but I do also see, so that's actually one whole part of the population in themselves, because there is this underlying, and there's a thousand bazillion reasons, but there's sometimes a collective, fear of what's coming next, right? Of the unknown
Yeah, you know.
that we're working on shifting because all the darkness is coming up into the light for us to look at. So then there'd be nothing to fear anymore. But also, what I find sometimes are the most stubborn are those of us who are really aware and awake and are doing spiritual work, and we do, have like a good connection with our higher self, and we still ignore it sometimes because it doesn't suit us in the moment.
Definitely. I mean, there's always those things that come up. And just because you're in the spiritual practice, just because you're doing this work with the universal consciousness doesn't necessarily mean that you're any better off. It's just you're attempting to become more aware. You are becoming more aware. And it's realizing that if you're unconscious, we'll say, not to put that into a negative term, just putting it as just two sides of perspective, or if you're more conscious, it's both sides are just as great. They just serve different purposes. And as we become spiritual, as we are spiritual practitioners, and as others join in within the practice and actually expand upon it and start becoming practitioners and facilitators and so forth. It's also knowing that you don't need to, one, push anyone to believe or feel that they need to practice this in a really large scale, just allowing them to showing them ways that are kind of leaving hints along the way, and that's part of your role, to just leave them hints and that they'll find their way when they are ready to find their way.
Right.
Allowing them to change when they're ready to change. Can't force anyone, just as you mentioned, and I think that dream was such an incredible point to make, is that you can't force anyone else to change until they're ready to make the move and really let go.
Yeah. Well, and part of the point, though, too, is that, first of all, one of the first steps for us to take as practitioners is acceptance and honoring everyone's journey and where they are right now without judgment. You know, and that's actually an important step for us. And a lot of times we're in this, but there are those of us who, you know, some get into this work, they can release the judgment on other people's journeys, you know, or I'm not saying that with judgment. I'm just saying it with observation, and there's nothing wrong with that. But also what I see is this: the ego intercedes with the spiritual practice sometimes with some who say, no, I understand this is what I'm supposed to do. Now, they might have gotten this grand vision of what they were supposed to do 5 days ago, and they think, or 5 months ago, or in some cases, 5 decades ago. I mean, and sometimes those are actually the ones that are the hardest to move, that say, oh, I have been practicing this way for 30 years. I've been practicing this way for 40 years, and I know it, I'm comfortable with it, and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes those are the most challenging ones to let go of, because our consciousness has changed, our vibration has changed, our ability, our remembrance, what I call not our abilities, but just our remembrance, has changed. Where we are now is very different from where we were even 2 years ago. So if we're doing something that was the same 10 years ago, then we might want to look at that and say, you know, there's something that I could probably infuse that would maybe allow me to expand even more. And I see this a lot. So, and I always say, well, you know, just always be mindful, because my practice is changing constantly. Like, I am basically getting new guidance all the time. And the way I practice now is completely different than I practiced a year ago. And yes, I do have the tools, and the tools expand and change to allow them to, but many people are stuck, you know, they get stuck in the box. But then this happens, so this is like in the spiritual world, and I mean, come on, we're so in the habit of the mind and the ego trying to control every step of the way, right? So it's like, no, I want to do this.
And it's funny, because if we think about not just this lifetime, but many of us, who are, one, doing this work, we've been doing this work lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, and we've been practicing this way lifetime after lifetime, and this lifetime is the lifetime in which we're changing all of that, right? So as we're doing that, it puts a huge hello, whoa, wait, what are you doing in front of us, because we've done it for how long? For eons? For
forever.
Centuries?
We've done it forever.
One way. And like, so, and then all of that internal stuff, and we're seeing it right in our daily lives. But if we truly want to get past it all, it's going to that subconscious, but like within like that deep level of the divine consciousness, to really say, I'm letting go. I'm letting go of all of it. Every point in time, every point in space, every point of existence. Because it's no longer needed. So why are we carrying baggage from
it's
lifetime
a habit.
It's
or
the
a habit.
Story?
Yeah. Because it's a habit.
Yeah.
And a deeply ingrained one. You know, and it's been part of the lesson. And that's what is funny, because, you know, with the Trinity practice, you know, I always tell people that's part of what this is letting go of all those habits that we've had in the past. And, you know, when all this came into me, when it all downloaded, before it all down, when I was being prepped for the download of it and all that kind of stuff, what my entire life, what kept on coming up, what I realize now, were all these memories from other lifetimes, right? So I would have this predisposition of, say, working with crystals, or I'd have this predisposition for looking at tarot cards. And this is all during my life. This went through different periods of time, right? Or I'd have a predisposition to do this, or I'd have a predisposition to do that. When I first really, really came awake, I would have this predisposition. Like, I would see symbols, and I would see, you know, you know, layouts that were very pagan or Wiccan, or, you know, like with elemental stuff. And yeah. I would see all of these things, and I would get pulled toward them, and my loud voice would say, absolutely not, no needed tool.
Yeah, it's funny because even lately, I used to be really into detailing, like, my astrology. Like, I would look at what's actually coming up in my, like, the little astrologic, I can't speak with astrology set, with the little messages that come out monthly and
the
horoscope daily, and like,
yeah,
those apps that would happen.
Yeah.
And I used to be so inclined to it, but lately it's been, no, you know. So over the last, say, 6 months, more than that probably, or probably the last year, it's been more in tune with what do you naturally feel, and then check in, like, I'm so in tune with what's happening with the sun lately that I know when a solar flare is happening before it happens. Or, like, right when it's happened, I know that it just struck, and within minutes you can see it pop up. I'm like, and it's just interesting because when you are following that, you're starting to become more aware of that universal flow, and then you get into the universal changes. Then you're actually flowing on that universal change, and you're not lagging behind. You don't have any delay in your system anymore or on your screen. You're flowing so rapidly, and the universe changes with an instant. Like, it's light speed. It is not, it's beyond light speed. It is not the time in which we perceive it to be. So then comes the whole time situation. Time has changed drastically.
Absolutely.
Drastically in the last few years. What is time? It's completely nonlinear to me now. I don't see it. I don't even deal with perspective. It's like flashes of different days that happen, and I don't understand why, or sometimes it's like I don't understand why I'm doing this one day, and then I'm doing something else that feels completely backwards, but it's not, because it's all now.
Right, and the I find the same thing. In fact, I was just having this conversation, I think, with my husband, like, within the past week about, you know, time is such a, it's a construct, time and space construct of duality and separation and some part of the game and stuff. And the higher we go in consciousness, it all becomes, there's no time and space. So you just see the whole thing, right? So I find that I've come to this place where sometimes I see an entire series of events in a moment, right? And I see them all happen, but I have no idea, like, in what order, like, in the linear time they go, right? And I am very conscious of that now. So I'm just sort of like, I probably volunteer less of what I see now than ever before, because I'm like, I know the end result, but I don't see how, I mean, because I know all the pieces, and yet I have no idea how that all falls together. Because when you're looking at it outside of time and space, there is no line, right? It's like, it's just all there, and sort of just like, how do you pull apart?
It's a long, big ball.
Yeah. And so that's becoming, and as we become higher in consciousness and that, and then you start to let go of every moment anyway, because then you're like, okay, well, I see the bigger picture, and I'm just going to sort of go with the current and just let it take me there, because I've already got this planned out. We've already masterfully planned this huge, amazing symphony that we have going here, and it is the apex of the symphony right now. In fact, I was speaking with somebody here last night about how beautiful it is to actually be here right now, because so much is changing and things are, the constructs of duality and separation are starting to really collapse around us, which some people find horrifying and I find exhilarating and awesome and thrilling, except what's happening is, you know, what I kept on getting. Okay, so again, oh, you were talking about the tools and stuff, right? So we,
Yeah.
I find the same thing. So I was, it was beaten into my head from the higher self. Stop that. Yes, you do know that. Yes, you have used that. Stop it, because now it's to remember all of this is already inside of you, and those are just reflections of what you already know, like you said, right? And this is when I talk to people and I tell them they're fine as long as they're not crutches. And we've made a habit of making crutches out of the tools.
Because it's looking it's outside of us, and we're in a time when we're here to look within ourselves and to step away from having to go to others, until we're at the point where we can go to ourselves and we can fully exist as ourselves. And that's what we're here to create. Like, I know in my practice, and I know that that's exactly your practice too, is you're here to enable others to look within themselves. And to find that in themselves, to empower them to be able to do this on their own. This is what we're like. I mean, for me, this I'm putting. I mean, I know that this is for you, but still, we're here to do this for others. And it's not in saying that because we know more. It's just because this is part of our role at this time. And every single person knows just as much and has access to absolutely everything we have access to. And my role is really wanting to show people this, and I find that lately, I do notice that there has been even more of a conflict, we'll say, or struggle of saying, well, you know, you're providing a healing, so like you do this for me rather than like I need you to do this for me. I don't know how to do it, and that's okay. I can help you to remember how to do this.
Right. And that's the difference. It's funny because a friend of mine a while ago had turned me on to the title healing facilitator, right? And healing facilitation, because that's really, as spiritual practitioners, what we do is facilitate the healing that you do on yourself. So, you know, I always tell everyone who walks into my office, how much, no matter how much or how little they know about this, is nobody heals you. Nobody creates your reality but yourself. And I'm here to just help you remember that. And how to access those frequencies of purity and high vibration that allow you to do that instead of, you know, getting stuck in the muck. And then teach you how to remember how to do that, you know, on your own consistently. Absolutely. Because part of this is to let go of these tools eventually. Because that's what I tell people is the tools are great for assisting and for validating sometimes because our mind still wants to be validated, right? So sometimes the tools are great for validating. And assisting, and then if we're working with other people, sometimes people really want the dog and pony show of some kind of tool, right? Because that's just what we've been in the habit of doing, right? It's the habit of externalizing. Like, you know, I can't tell you how many advanced practitioners come to me to see what I get without telling me what they've gotten for themselves. And that's okay because this is all part of our holding each other's hand, right? Welcome to me. And they'll see, you know, and we'll work together, and then I will give them whatever I see, or tell them whatever I see, or we get into the conversation about whatever, you know, goes on. And they're like, okay, well, that's exactly why I came here, because that's what I got, but I just really wanted to make sure. And I'm like, going, in reality, what if I got something completely different that doesn't, like, less validate what you got? You know, maybe if I didn't get what you got, it would be even more of a test of your inner, you know, your trust in your own guidance, because part of this is coming to a place of having such flow that no matter what it looks like in the 3D around us, that we can accept the change in the moment, right? No matter what people think of us, you know, not getting to this point of not caring about judgment of others, not caring about, you know, what the 3D world says, because I can't tell you how many times it's happened to me now already where I've been guided to do something that made no sense in the 3D world whatsoever. And then it had some huge implications later on that I couldn't see in the moment until I got through it.
And it's interesting because it's all about trust. Do you trust in the universe at the end of the day? Do you trust in yourself? Do you believe in yourself? Do you believe in the universe? Do you believe, like, and there was another one that came to me, and I can't remember what that is, but what's interesting is that it's if we're really talking about tools, our vehicle, our vessel is a tool. We're really letting go. Now, how much change is actually happening? I know we've been talking about this as well, so we'll raise this now. My body continually, I can feel the cellular changes that are happening within it. And as we're creating these shifts, you notice that it changes your whole makeup. And as you continually to expand, you're creating more space. And as we go on, we're changing our form completely. And where we're going is releasing the form. We're carrying the form, but we're releasing it at the end
or
of
making
the day.
We're making it,
transforming it.
Right, or making it optional. Right, making it optional so that we can change it into whatever we want in the moment, which would be really where the form starts. I totally am up for that.
But it's so funny because we forget that our body is simply a tool.
Right.
And if we utilize our body in a way that it will assist us, then what other doors are we opening up for ourselves? And noticing that our body can look one way or can feel one way, but it doesn't necessarily, it can feel another way than what it looks. So perhaps it's reminding yourself to trust your inner heart of where it is and what it is that you're feeling about what it is that you're doing. And to me, that's what it's all about, is mm-hmm. trusting how you feel.
Right.
And not looking at what the picture is showing you.
Yeah.
Not looking at what the images there are in front of you, because what you're looking at is probably an outdated program, and you forgot that as soon as you just like wipe away your screen, there's something even more glorious right there before you. It's just you're not.
Well, and by the way, we're just we're programming it from scratch all over again, you know, and we can do that in every moment, and that's part of the remembrance. So I think one of the biggest things, and it's probably what we should probably do our little clearing on today,
mm-hmm.
is out of all of this that we're talking about is some. I believe that some of the challenge of many is, even those who are more advanced or not, is this change before me? Is it actually guidance for me to do it, or is it my ego avoiding? Because those are two really big reasons that people change, right? Sometimes it's the ego running away from something, and sometimes it's because it's time to put it in front of us to look at it so that we can move on, right? Are we hiding behind the rock, or are we stopping to just, is the whole current changing direction? And I think that, and it sounds, does that make sense? Because it's such a very small refinement, but it's very, very important in trust.
It's totally. Are you ready to take the road less taken, therefore it seems more brushy? Or are you ready, are you going to take the road that is a beaten path? You don't know what's lying down the road on either of them, but it looks one way,
right.
And that's the road you always take.
Right. And so that would be to have clarity on the discernment between, you know, if change is being prompted by the ego, if change is being prompted by the higher self. And I will review, as I always do, the ego is not bad. There's nothing bad about it. So many people vilify it. The thing about the ego is created, and under my understanding, to explore separation and duality. And so its whole purpose and the way it manages things is through duality and separation. So as we are moving more and more toward remembering our oneness and connection, the ego will shift into a different role, but it's also important not to allow the ego to pull us and manage, what I always say is manage consciousness, be the manager of all the consciousness, when actually ego is just one part of the entire consciousness. So part of it is to say, is it the ego that's trying to pull me by the arm because this is too uncomfortable, right? Or it looks too wacky or too blah, right? Because so many people are being asked to do things like, you know, change where they live, leave their spouses, you know, go someplace, you know, go do something completely different. And sometimes it's so very, very minute in every single day. So what I find is really important is to be able to discern, because I have had people come in who are saying, oh, well, I'm being guided to change, I'm being guided to change. And I'm like, well, are you sure? Because I'm hearing the ego loud and clear of, oh, I'm want to change because this is more comfortable for me, because if I continue down this current, then I'm going to be really uncomfortable with what I'm going to have to face. And there is a difference. And I do see that sometimes with the spiritual crowd too, saying, oh, and then we start using it as an excuse. Oh, my guidance said this. Are you sure? Did you listen? Are you listening to what you're saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, so I'm always checking.
Tones too. When you really listen, there's different tones
yeah.
to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's important to get to this point of I step back and always look at my guidance. And I guess it's hard for me to voice that because I'm like thinking about, you're saying the different tones, and it's like I make it a habit, especially now because things are changing so fast, that if I feel like I'm guided one way and I feel like there's some kind of rock in the way, I'll step back and be like, okay, is it my ego that's actually continuing guidance that's changed now?
Yeah.
Or am I doing this because it's more comfortable? Or am I listening? And I've gotten to the point of saying, you know, I only want to hear the pure guidance. I only want, you know, like, and I'll just say, show me the pure guidance that's most important. And that takes a bit of discernment. And some people might get overwhelmed with this, but part of it is really working on that trusting the inner guidance, listening to yourself, knowing that you have all the answers. And so I think that's what we should do our creation statement and our intention on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So which would be what I remember the difference between ego and higher consciousness. No.
I like the word I know.
I know. I know and I remember. Yeah. I know the, well, I know. We all know. So that's why I usually use remember, because remember is more of a,
yeah.
I've got to, you know, like I have the conscious remembrance. I remember the difference between all the voices at different parts of my consciousness. I trust my higher guidance. I trust that I know all within myself, and that the universe has my back. I mean, I think that's really, it sounds fundamental, but a lot of people have that issue.
Exactly. And that's exactly why I wrote that conversation of just being like, trust and believe.
Yeah.
Believe.
And let's say, and I consciously see it clearly. Because I know many people who watch this are going to be like, I want to see it clearly.
I see it and I recognize it.
I recognize it and I allow it.
Yes.
And I allow myself to trust it. Yeah.
And enjoy it.
Yes, and enjoy it, right. All with the grace and ease and fun and flow.
Totally.
And it's funny, I adopted using the word flow a while back, and now every time I use the word flow, I just sort of see that current of, you know, flowing through.
Always.
Yeah. So whatever we need to do so that we can fully exist and manifest from the vibration and reality of that statement. Okay, ready?
Yes. Beautiful.
And by the way, anybody who's watching this on recording, because I know a good majority of people who watch these do, outside of space and time we do these, so you can absolutely join in. In fact, as many times as you like to do this. So. All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I just heard this thing. It's funny.
60 seconds.
Excuse me, that's the radio show.
I heard that.
Here.
I was like, what? Yes.
I know. I was going to stay. No, that was okay. That was really big because there was like a big explosion, like this starburst, which felt really nice.
I saw it too. It came more towards my right side than my left.
Yeah.
Is it my left side than my right?
Yeah, whatever. It's all the same, right? It doesn't really exist anyway.
I do that a lot lately. I switch between day to day to change that, my left and my right, very often.
Oh, really?
And it's,
go ahead.
I know that it's set to what it's set, but I just allow it to come out.
Okay, yeah. I've got to figure out how to mute this. This is great. This is like this informal talk that I have here. Yeah, I have all these like things going on. So What I saw out there was really cool. I also heard really loud, "Don't forget, I allow change and embrace change if it's highest and best." So I was like, okay, everybody hear that? Everybody heard it. Oh, that felt really good. And I'm going to go, after we get done, I'm going to go meditate in the beautiful quietude here at Mount Tasa because,
yeah.
Wow, the voices are loud here. So, but, yeah, it becomes, it's interesting because many people ask me, how do you know, like, you know, before we hang up really quickly, it's like, how do you know? How do you know if it's what's the follow? And it's like, what I was shown to explain is really quickly, if you are guided or something, you know, because we fear change. If we fear change, then it's going to come up to us in a fearful way. If we are okay with change, but it's even still a bigger thing, anytime we get guided for change, and every day, actually, because things are changing so fast now, it's good. I ask pretty much every day, like, okay, this is what I tell people is this is really what brings you to present right now in the moment, because all I can do is trust what's right now, you know, and if I'm guided to do this differently, if I'm guided to do something else, and and like you said, you know, sometimes you're going, well, what am I doing this for or whatever, but it's really a strong guidance on, well, no, I feel it. And people say, well, how do I tell? So part of this is doing these kind of clearings so that you can listen and discern. Part of it is actually listening. The more we listen and step back and quiet and meditate, I always have to throw in my little plug for meditation in some way, shape, or form.
Of course.
So that you got to quiet it down so that you can hear the tones of the different voices, so that you can not only hear them, but feel them in yourself, because your cells, even though as a tool, when you're expressing what's highest and best for you, right? And that's what kinesiology is all about. So it's... So if we learn to just listen, our heart knows if we take all the buts out, because buts are created by the ego. When we say, oh, well, I want to do this, but every but is created by the ego. Remember that, because but is a perspective of separation. So if the heart is saying, it is highest and best to do this, part of it is to just trust without knowing to see the whole picture and say, okay, so what's the next step? What's the first step to do this? That would be practical application for people. Anything for you before we hang up? Because we've run.
I think just on that note, just a practical application of consciously changing your perspective and releasing of the ego is with that but phrase, releasing the word but, and utilizing the word and.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then changing the way that your words, because your words have that resonancy, and right now the majority of us, that's what we know to use. To create as we use our words. So working within that context and changing what it is that we're speaking. So utilizing remember instead of clearing or releasing, or you know, utilizing and instead of but, or I am rather than I will, and so forth. So there's a lot of things that we can say on that, but utilizing your words to effectively know that what it is that you're doing is what you are creating.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. So thanks for joining me. Great conversation. And we could just continue talking all morning, so we're going to cut it off there. But before we get off, though, Julie, tell everybody where to find you.
Of course. You can find me at thesoulcollective.co. Lots of different things going on, so you can hit me up there.
And did you want to talk about your project quick?
Oh, yeah. So I'm also creating a Center for the Evolution of Consciousness, which is to be actually held in the Niagara region because it's close proximity to international airports of Toronto and Buffalo. It's to assist people in this remembrance, to assist people in utilizing their own intuitive skills, their own remembrance and understanding to fully activate and shift their own consciousness perspective and fully embody the higher vibrational experience and so much more. You can check that information out on my website. It's under the Retreat Center for soulcollective.co/retreatcenter. And you can check out the GoFundMe campaign. We're accepting any and all donations. It's all greatly appreciated for the manifestation and creation of this wonderful, wonderful sacred space that really will really light up this area as we create others as well.
Yes, and I love the idea because so many in the spiritual practicing, you know, has it in their heart to start, you know, like a pilot light to start something like this, like, and to do centers like this all over the place. And the more we have, the better. you know, the more we come together to do these kind of things, the more amazing it is, the easier it is for everybody to have access to all these tools and ways to shift. So
Exactly.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining me, and thanks for joining us, whoever's here live or on recording, and we'll see you next time on Living the Shift. Have a great one. Love y'all.
Thank you all. Bye.
Bye. Okay.
Awesome.
Good one. 50 minutes. But I have started setting it at 45 because I was like, yeah, the discussions tend to run long because we start going, and then it's like, oh, then we just start like bouncing off each other. And
so much. And it was like, I wanted to get into the whole, it was funny because I kept being urged with the whole like push about the tool being your body. Like, and then it was like, talk about the light body. So I was like, no, not yet. Not yet.
Yeah.
So this is a conversation.
Yeah. There's, I know. We could, like I said, we could talk all morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, join us on our telethon. Join us on our telethon. Hey, you know, maybe you should do that for your GoFundMe campaign, hold a little telethon.
Oh, my God. That would be interesting.
Yeah. So there you go. There's not a possible. That just popped up in my head. That'd be good. Because we don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that eventually I want to create. I don't know when the timing is for it, but I definitely see some sort of large fundraiser happening, like live silent auction kind of thing taking place for it.
Yeah, that's
But yeah, I don't know when or where, just allowing it to be, and I'll know when it is. Just like, I knew the day to put that up, I just woke up and did it, so.
Yeah, I know, and it was so funny.
Funny those urges in the morning.
What was that?
Funny those urges in the morning.
Yes, I know. I've had several at 4:30 in the morning or whatever, and then my husband wakes up a little later. He's like, "What the hell?" Like, yeah, well, it just came to me. So whatever, you know. Oh, but yeah, it's and I love that I have a couple days here, and I'm really guided to go to this Pluto cave thing later today.
Oh, I tried to go. I could not find it. It's really sticky. Like, it's really hard to find. So just be, did they tell you to keep your eyes open, like, or have you gone before?
I haven't gone before, no.
You haven't? Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's really tricky to find. I couldn't end up finding it. I went down two really crazy roads. But it was also winter, so it was, I mean.
It's probably a lot harder in winter, too, right? I did find a blog site that had, like, a pretty detailed way of getting there, so.
Yeah, and, oh, I forget her name, but the lady at the crystal shop that you're talking about.
Catherine?
Yeah, Catherine. Catherine, she gave me a lot better detail on it, but I definitely, yeah, I suggest going. And if you can go to Oran's pyramid, I'd suggest doing that, too.
I have sort of had that floating around in my consciousness. I haven't been drawn to it before, and I'm wondering if we might. But like I just go by guidance here. So,
of course.
Two things have already come up to me today. I'm interestingly enough, I've had a really challenging time getting the people at the spring. I've been trying to contact them for a month, and nobody returns my phone calls. They don't return my emails. And to try to make, not formal reservations, but to let them know we're coming, because they have this whole thing about you can't do, like, group reservations on the weekend. But I didn't do it once, and they, like, basically gave me this attitude the first time I came. I didn't do it once, and they gave me this attitude. And they're like, please call in advance in the future. So I've called in advance beyond that. And just to let them know, and they've been accommodating with that, but it's sort of like they have not responded to emails or voicemails forever. And Nicole is staying over there. She came out yesterday, and she's staying over at the Springs yesterday and today, and coming here tomorrow, so we can go get everybody. But she had a hard time getting in touch with them, period. It's like really weird. And so she did get in touch with the woman, and then the woman said to call her at this number, and I did, and she didn't answer. And I got a voicemail, and I left her a message, and she didn't call me back. So I said to Nicole, I said, could you please talk to them about us coming? But then I keep on going, well, maybe we're not supposed to go this time, even though as much as I love the spring, and I'm like, Nate, and for some reason that pyramid keeps on coming up, and I know they do group things, and I'm like, well, maybe we'll do that, but I don't know.
too, and it was quite powerful. And it is for ICE. It is guarded by ISIS, and I
Yeah,
forget
I
the
know.
other
Yeah.
one, his name. But I mean, whoa! Like that was one of my most impactful experiences there.
Wow.
And I know the general. Like so, I ended up knowing. How do I say it? So Omarin's child is someone who gets work done by one of my really good friends in San Francisco. And while I was there, it just kind of all ended up clicking at that moment that happened. And it was really just an interesting synchronicity of it all because she had just told me a story about this woman. And then I said I was going there.
Yeah, and so I have, and it's funny that you bring that up though, because it did come into my purview again.
And he's a twin flame too, that is actually with his twin flame. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I sort of got that from their website. They didn't say it
Yeah.
on, I don't think they say it on the website, but I got that as soon as I got there.
Yeah, they see it other places, but I don't know if it's on the website. But
So I
yeah.
might call them and just see, because
Do you have their phone number? I can give you their cell phone number. Because it gets tricky to call them too.
let me get a pen. Hold on.
But if you leave a message, it'll. So I believe the cell phone number, the way that I have it, is 530-945-9558. And then the work phone number is 530-926-2886.
Yeah. I'm gonna call and
And
check it out.
he greeted me with like
Because I was, it was
crazy.
funny because I sort of had felt like that might be if we do something besides the spring,
Yeah.
because you know there is a certain amount of money, you know, that is, you know, budgeted for the events, because it would look like it was pretty much flush, so it would have to be one or the other. And I'm like, and it changes every year. Like this year we're doing something, I mean every year we do something different, so it wouldn't follow suit. Except I've done the springs every year because I love the springs. But I'm not feeling as pulled to the spring this year. Maybe that's why Nicole came out so she could get her fill of it. I don't know.
And then maybe that's why they're just—it's just simply not opening up for you.
Yeah, because I asked and I sort of feel like there's a rock there. I sort of feel like there's a yeah, you don't need to go that way. And like I said, this is the second time that pyramids come up, and I looked at it and I sort of for the first time felt the pull, because the other times I've looked at it, it's not been. And I had asked, am I supposed to do this on the day I'm by myself? And I got no. But I sort of could feel us as a group going in there. So maybe I'll call them today.
Yeah, and they have a cool labyrinth as well too behind it. So there's other little stuff on their land.
And what's their
Yeah, so
names
pretty
again?
Omarin.
Omarin. Yeah, I remember that. Okay. Yeah, the
Yeah.
pyramid. Yeah. That would be
He
fun.
was from New York too.
I mean, because there's a lot of water that we can go do anyway. That's really, yeah. It's funny, because I'm not feeling the springs this year, and now I sort of feel badly about it because I haven't brought it up. Because I think I brought it up to people, and what if I? And I guess, and there we go. There's the change. Okay, so are you going to go by guidance, or are you just going to go because you feel bad and just trust that it's going to be a
Yeah.
better experience? So I might just call that guy today and sort of feel that out.
We'll see how open that door is because you'll know,
Yeah.
right? If
Well,
it
and
just
I just keep on
flies open
saying,
for you, all of a sudden it's just like, whoa,
I can't.
oh.
I keep on feeling it. I keep on feeling the blocks to the springs, and I'm like, all right, this shouldn't be this hard. Nothing in Mount Shasta needs to be is that hard if it's not if it's supposed to be done. So, this is my class, right? Like I said, I'm.
I think that they would appreciate it though, because like it really, really is quite impactful. Yeah, it's different but than the waters, but like you said, there's a lot of other waters and this
Yeah.
is another really unique experience that again all of your other practitioners have or your facilitators haven't
Yeah, that's true.
experienced
That's
yet.
true. Yeah. So we'll see. I'm just gonna go. Right now, I'm still like so focused on today, and I'm supposed to go to the cave, and then I think I'm supposed to go to the meadows later on by myself. Which would be nice.
Very, very cool.
And then,
my sister's coming into town today with her little niece, or with my little niece.
Fine.
So they'll be here for the next month.
How old is your niece?
Not even three. Three in September.
Oh, that's fun. That's a fun age.
Yeah. And she's just like little, cheerful, peaceful, bright, shining star. Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be nice.
Awesome. Well, I am bummed that we are missing you, but there's always a purpose, so we'll figure it all out.
Yeah, it's all. I know that it's all for a reason. I don't have remorse, but it's weird. I have had a few dreams about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I had one dream where I saw myself there, but yet I saw it as a graduation. And then I was like, but I don't understand why I'm not graduating. Like, but I'm here.
So what are you saying? What are you saying? I'm not graduating? You left me back?
Yeah. And then I was shown a spreadsheet, and then it was like I was being asked about the finances, if we were able to cover everything under a certain sector of some, I don't know what it was. They asked me something specifically, and then I was like, oh, yeah, we're completely fine, blah, 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 like, and all this stuff. And then I was just like, but I don't understand why I'm not graduating.
Oh, funny. And did you
no
get an answer?
On it.
Yeah, did you get any answer on it?
No, nothing. Oh. I didn't get anything. And it was weird because I was just like, I don't understand. So then it was interesting because Mary and I had a conversation yesterday just in passing. She's just like, hey, sorry, like, I heard that you're not going. Like, I haven't talked to you in a while, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, yeah, I'm like, it's all good. But I had this weird dream, and that would be the second in this week about it. And then right afterwards, I had a dream about someone winning money by buying condoms at a convenience store. It's really weird. And I was looking at them being like, should I buy one? And then all of a sudden someone came up and he just bought one and he won like all his money. And I was just so happy for him. And it was like, we knew each other kind of thing. And it wasn't any difference between him or me winning it.
Right.
Then what she was saying, she's like, I just hear your books are balanced kind of thing. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I don't think it really has anything to do with the money. I think there's something.
Yeah. The money's a rock, just like anything else, right?
Well, yeah. And it's just, and that's the thing is that, like, I know that it's just to release that. And I know that I had to, that after this week, I've had a lot of ancestral stuff come up with my family, bus cut off, and been dealing with that. And it's been like, listen, this is time, we're clearing this, we're getting this out, or this is happening kind of thing. Like, it's no longer allowed to be staying under the rug. And so I don't know. I've heard that I could still go. That I don't understand. So I'm like, letting it go.
You know, in all, Julie, I actually heard that yesterday in the car myself.
That I could still be there.
That you could still be here.
Yeah. I
at this point, though, how that's going to happen, if you teleport, absolutely freaking awesome.
And you know that I've been, it's funny because in the middle of me watching TV, I've been teleporting into the Moloka in Peru. And I've been fully seeing myself, like, transferring, like, and I was like, that's so crazy and weird that that's happening. And I was with them during ceremonies and stuff. So, you know, if that's the way, but it actually feels physicality. And that's what it's like, blows my mind. But I'm not putting any pressure on it. I'm just letting it
no,
be and allowing
like
it to be.
I said, I got it in the car yesterday, and I was like, everything's possible, especially Mount Jasper. So, whatever. I
know.
It's all good.
I don't release judgment on it. I just have to release judgment on it because obviously
it'll figure
this point
out. At some point, you will see it. Like I'm talking about, like, you know, like you're saying you see the pieces on things, and I see them all together, but all like without linear, you know, relativity. So it'll have it's just I don't know. You just don't see all the pieces yet, so that's fine. And
exactly.
And who
exactly.
knows, because. Interestingly enough, something that I had, so like weird things. So weird things. Oh, it was funny. Nora told me last night, we went out to dinner, and she told me this. I hadn't seen this. I have to look this up. But she said, "Did you hear about the two divers in Kauai?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, they disappeared. They went into this cave, like this, they call it Blue something or whatever,
Cool.
to exploring." She goes, "And they disappeared. And they were gone for 2 days, and everybody basically, you know, were like, well, they're dead, blah, blah, blah." She goes, "They showed up 2 days later with half a tank of air still in their canisters, and they felt like they'd only been gone for like a half hour. Like they had no idea they'd been gone for 2 days."
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes,
Yes.
I
So
don't know the story, but I know what you mean.
it's happening. And so then what came back to me, interestingly enough, and this is really funny, I had forgotten it. Apparently my husband must have remembered this because he made a comment and then it didn't make sense to me until Nora and I were talking about this last night, because I said, yeah, I said, you know, funny enough, it's said funny about that, I'm finding that time, we were talking about time warping. I said, and
Yes.
how we're in and out of time every moment. And so things are happening that are just so indescribable now. Which is part of the fun, you know, but I said a couple of months ago, it was like within the last, or probably 3, 4 months. I think it was before I went to Arizona. I had a dream and it was so vivid, it so threw me when I came back, right? When I woke up, because I was like, I don't know if it was another timeline, if I stepped out of time, if this is actually gonna happen, or if it does happen, or has happened. I said, whatever. Because it was so real that I just, it just, even when I talk about it, it just comes right back there. So I have this dream that something happened that caused me to, it was like I was getting, my guidance was to get some kind of energetic upgrade or something. And I was asked, and I basically did the equivalent of stepping into a light. Like, and it was like really nothing, like literally like, oh, look, I'm gonna step over here. It was like almost taking 2 steps that was a portal, but it was here. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, I just saw this big, big, huge infusion of light. And then I stepped out. And it was a moment, but it was 5 years later here. I had
Yes.
totally disappeared. And, like, in fact, I come back and Scott was seeing somebody. I disappeared 5 years ago. And the whole time, I was like, I can't even be upset about it because I totally disappeared and you haven't heard anything from me for 5 years. I can't say anything. And what was interesting is I felt so removed because I was like in that moment, so much had happened, but I don't remember all of what that moment was about. But I had this guy who I worked with like 25 years ago. I haven't thought about it. In fact, I can't even remember the guy's last name. I just remember his name is Tom. Because I said to Scott, wouldn't it be interesting if he died? And so he was like talking to me and he said, well, you have a choice. You can stay or you can go, but you have to do this one thing. And I said, okay, so where was it? Where I came back was here in Mount Shasta.
Yeah.
And there was a class waiting for me here. And
Oh,
I,
this is the same dream that you had before.
yeah, no, so I'm saying this is the dream I'm talking about. Oh, I thought I had told you about that.
Well, as your class that I was in.
Did I talk about it in your class? It wasn't that
Yeah.
long ago.
I know, but you have the same. This is funny. You talked about how you came back and you just appeared there and there was a class waiting for you.
Did I? Because I
Yeah.
know this dream was like, I don't know, a couple months ago. I don't remember this. Are you
I
sure
know, but
you
that's funny.
we haven't just talked about it?
Positive. Positive. Because it was one of the first memories I had of you, which.
Interesting. Well, that's interesting. Or outside of time and space or something.
Yeah.
Because I know it wasn't that long ago that I had the dream. It was this year.
Okay, can you keep going though? Because
Oh, anyway, so yeah, I come back.
Sorry.
I come back and the class is here and I'm like, well, how do you even know how, what, like I was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, we're waiting for you. And I'm like, well, how did you even know I was gonna be here? Because I apparently been gone for 5 years. And they're like, oh, we just, our guidance was that we're going to be here. I said, well, I guess I qualified you for class. I guess. just trusted it and we showed up here. Oh. And I remember the guy was saying to me, Tom, he was saying to me, do you, you can stay or you can go. And I remember after the class, I hadn't decided. Because I felt like things had changed so much that it was like, it would be too distracting to try to readjust to being here or something like that. And but I couldn't decide. And then I woke up. That's all I remember. But it was funny because
we only had this 4 months ago.
Yes, it was right before. I know it was right before I went away. I know it was right before I went to Arizona.
I'm telling you, swear to God, this is what you told me, told us in class.
Are you sure that it wasn't just on a conversation we had maybe on Skype that I might have told you about it?
No, positive.
Okay,
positive.
That's so weird. No, because I know I'm positive it was all.
And that might just mean that I heard it, and right. That was the, that's where I saw it.
No, maybe, yeah.
But
it's funny. It's funny because yesterday when I got into Medford and I said, you know, what was so funny coming here was so fluid. Everything was early. It was like the red carpet was rolled out for me. I mean, literally,
yeah.
I don't know if you saw what I posted on Facebook. I was like, oh my God, 14 minutes from hitting the ground to walking out the door at Medford with my baggage that I had checked and with the rental car within 14 minutes. I'm like, you think? It's almost like the red carpet is rolling out. It's like, come on, let's go. But what was interesting was I texted, so my husband said to me, he's like, well, what's the hotel? And I said, well, you know I'm staying at Nora's. And he goes, no, I know. He's like, but do I have information, like her information? I'm like, I know I've given it to you before, but here it is. And then here's her cell number. But she does have a house phone apparently, because there's a house phone sitting right here. I'm like, but I don't know what the number is. I said, I'll give you her cell. And he's like, yeah. And he said, just in case of anything. Ha ha. Or lol. And so, okay, well, because of the way I laugh about Mount Shasta all the time, you know, that was like a ha ha. But funny, it was that when I was telling Nora about that last night, I was like, that's what he meant. I forgot about it. So funny.
That's funny because it must really have to, like, he's agreed to it, but.
Well, I said to him, I'm like, really?
His perspective on that.
I said, you wouldn't even wait 5 years? God.
That he still even would ask you. You'd be like, can you just at least have me be able to find out if you
ask? Yeah. He's like, you know, it'd be nice to have just dropped me a line. I was like, but the thing was, it was a moment. Like, it wasn't like I was going someplace. It was like I literally stepped through a doorway and stepped back out, and that was it. And it was 5 years later.
And I'm finding that I think that that's actually happening in our dreams a lot because, I'll tell you, the other night, in that dream that I was telling you about, I saw everyone open this door,
yeah,
but without their hands.
Interesting.
It was just a big door, like almost to a basement,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. But it was just like you open this door and you just kind of had your hands out and it just went like this and it opened.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't touch it or anything. But then it was interesting because last night as well, then I had a dream about changing vehicles. And this is, again, the second time that I've had a dream about changing vehicles. And last night, the first was a projection state where I saw somebody change vehicles. I don't know. That's another funny one. But this one was about I saw a guy that I haven't known in 6 years.
Yeah.
Something like that. And he came to assist me on my right-hand side of the vehicle, and I was this car was kind of, I wasn't inside of it. I was on the outside of it,
mm-hmm.
and I was guiding it. And I was like,
funny, did you hear the car honk just as you said that?
Yeah.
That's actually pretty funny.
and we turned it around and we moved it into a different direction. And then it was weird. Something else happened after that too. I didn't write those dreams again, so I don't remember them now from last night. But, yeah, weird stuff has been coming in lately. Weird stuff. a soul fragment returning to me that I saw. I don't even know when. A few minutes ago, last week, who knows? And then all of these different projections happening. And me, like, actually, like, pulling people out of their bodies and, like, going from dimension to dimension and, like, or going from time to time and being told to learn to shift dimensions and stuff like that. And I don't know.
I get
Oh,
you.
wait, I just lost you.
Can you see me? Hear me? Am I here?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
No, we can't.
I can hear
Can
you.
you hear me? I can't hear you. Okay. Well, now
I
you're
think we're
mute
done.
to me. Lovely to chat.
Same here. Thank you. Apparently. Love
Have a great day.
you too. Yeah.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay,
Bye.
bye.